What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Two Stripes Podcast, the podcast that covers everything in the college football world. My name is Colton Denning, and I am your host. I am in beautiful Boulder, Colorado, and it is August 10th, 2017. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today, especially if you are a first-time listener. I hope you enjoy it and listen to the Two Stripes Podcast for all of these episodes, which you can find by going to soundcloud.com/twostripespod, or you can subscribe to the podcast by going to Apple Podcasts and searching the Two Stripes Podcast. That's a lot of podcasts in there. But leave a review, subscribe, comment, tell me what you like about the show, and I hope that you stay tuned as we head into the 2017 season. With the return of the podcast, I only thought it was fitting to discuss the return of one of my favorite college football teams, and that is the UAB Blazers. UAB, of course, has been gone for the last two seasons due to some shady background, I would say politics, and inner workings in the state of Alabama, if that's the right way to put it. But they are finally back. I couldn't be more stoked to have them back in college football and be able to see that program and their fans root on their team again this year. So that's going to be the focus of today's episode, and we might as well get right into it. Joining me now to talk about the return of UAB and what to expect from them this season, I am joined by Drew Champlin, and he covers Alabama, Auburn, and in-state recruiting, as well as UAB football and basketball, plus boxing for AL.com and the Alabama Media Group. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Colton. Thanks for having me on.
I am really stoked to talk about UAB because we haven't seen the program in 2 years since the 6-6 2014 season. And then the program goes away, and me and my buddies were really invested in watching UAB that year, knowing it might have been the last season, and we were really pulling hard for the program. So it's awesome to see him back. And I wanted to get your thoughts in this as we talk about what the excitement level is around campus and among the fans now that we're getting close to UAB's first game since that 2014 season.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement, and a lot of it comes from the fact that at this point in time, this month, there's so much national media coverage, and which is to be expected, you know, with the way UAB's been able to come back with the brand new facility, you know, and some of the coverage is also unfortunately, you know, tragically based. You know, my friend Alex Scarborough wrote a story on ESPN about Greg Bryant, the star running back who started his career at Notre Dame. Well, he comes to UAB, signs with UAB, but shot and killed in May of 2016 down in South Florida. So, you know, there would be a lot of stories about him, obviously, if he was still around, because he'd be the star of the offense right now. I mean, this guy would be, you know, probably a preseason all-conference running back, I think. And UAB didn't have any preseason all-conference players. But, you know, the team has had to overcome that. But, you know, when you drive up and down I-65, or if you drive up I-65 North, you can easily see that pavilion that they've built, the Legacy Pavilion, and by that is a brand new football operations building, and it is you know, unlike anything UAB has ever had before, and that's not even close. So, you know, people see that. Obviously, Legion Field is still a bit of a dump, but that's all they have right now. You know, talks of a downtown stadium are still apparently ongoing. Don't know when that'll ever come to fruition, but pretty much that's probably the only downer. But there's a lot of excitement because of what the money being poured into UAB and the sport they have, and we'll see where it goes.
Were people surprised at all down there about how big of a story this became and how much people supported UAB from the outside?
You know, maybe people who are not UAB fans or didn't really follow UAB work because, you know, I covered UAB in 2012 and 2013. I didn't in 2014, and I have been since about 2 months after they restarted the program. So I missed a lot of the good stuff. But, you know, when I was covering UAB, Garrick McGee was the head coach, and it didn't really take long for people to realize that it just was not going to work out long term with him as the head coach. And if he had stayed around in 2014 instead of going to Louisville, which was – it was a great move for him personally, and it was great for UAB because they were able to get Bill Clark. Well, they're not going 6-6, and attaining bowl eligibility. They're probably going 0-12, and we're not having this podcast today. So I think a lot of people were surprised at the outrage that the UAB supporters and students after President Watts canceled the program. I think some your casual Birmingham, Alabama, or Auburn football fan might not have expected that, but they kept it up. They kept it up for months, and as money was raised, and then President Watts brought the program back and raised millions and millions of dollars, and here we are today.
I don't want to get too much into the rumors of the behind-the-scenes stuff that happened, but is there still lingering bad blood between UAB and Alabama after all of this, or is all of that water under the bridge now that the UAB program is back?
Definitely not water under the bridge. I think I hope the hatred is, even between both sides. Look at it from the Alabama perspective. You've got people, they're spending our tax dollars. Well, no, that's not really true. And then you've got UAB fans who look at people with disgust, Alabama fans just with disgust because, it's their belief that Paul Bryant Jr. shut the program down. So, it is what it is. I think some of that on both sides, you're never going to get rid of it. I'm not a fan of any. I think people should let fans of other teams be fans of other teams, regardless of which side you're on. I hate it when people, just say, well, why are you a fan of them? They stink and all this and that. So hopefully, I think that the UAB is going to attract maybe a few more casual fans than they have in years past because, there are people in Birmingham that want good things for Birmingham and in a college football program inside the city with a good record and stuff like that would be good for Birmingham.
How big of a role has Coach Bill Clark played in all of this? Because from the outside looking in, it seems like he's really stuck with that program and that he never wavered in whether it's a fair assessment or not. It seems like he's really been viewed as the face of this resurgence of UAB in coming back.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. When Bill Clark took over the program, obviously I was not in the team room when he addressed them, coming off that 2-10 season. Half the team was injured because of poor things all around. And, it was really a beaten down and battered on the inside program. And, they were able to bounce back and go 6-6. They were bowl eligible that year. They would have been in a bowl game if not for the program being shut down. And they did have a couple of NFL players on the roster. They had some pretty good players, and Bill Clark wasn't a miracle worker, but going 6-6 with that, with what UAB's done in the past is pretty dang good. Of course, they probably lost a game. You look back on it, they probably lost a game or game or two they shouldn't have, but, I'm sure they won some games that nobody thought they would before the season, which is kind of the situation we're in right now with UAB, not being expected to do much. But, yeah, I think a lot of people think that if Bill Clark had just continued his coaching career elsewhere, which he absolutely could have, then UAB football would not be here today. And here's a guy who he wants to be a head coach at this level. And, he probably had some offers to be like a high-level FBS defensive coordinator. But even then, that's no team you're going to get back. There's so few head coaching jobs. There's 130 of them. So that's what he wanted to be. That's where he still is. And that's a big reason maybe he's still around today, football-wise.
What do you think stands out the most to you about Bill Clark as a coach? Because you mentioned Garrick McGee and not working out. And if you look at Garrick McGee's coaching career and playing career when he was in college, he doesn't really have any ties to the state of Alabama. And it seems like Bill Clark kind of gets that job and what's needed to have UAB be a steady, not winner, but just be a steady program and better than what it was under McGee.
Yeah, I was covering Troy down for the Dothan Eagle in Southeast Alabama when Garrick McGee was hired. But when you look at that on paper, hiring an SEC offensive coordinator to be an SEC high-level assistant to be a head coach of a Conference USA program is not a bad look on paper at all. And, Garrick McGee, he can turn on the personality and the charm when he wants to. And I think he wowed them during the interview. I'm sure he had a great plan. But a lot of, some people just doesn't work out. And there are a lot of things at UAB that just didn't work out. And I do believe that there were things promised to him that didn't come to fruition. A lot of people think that he left when, because he knew the program was going to be shut down. I don't believe that for a second. I think he left because, his stock was going to drop as a coach if he had stayed another year. And then with Petrino going to Louisville, it opened up a situation for McGee. And he even got a raise out of it. And so he's doing what he's doing. He's an offensive coordinator now at Illinois. But, yeah, he didn't really have ties to the state. May have recruited some in Alabama, and he still does for Illinois. But Bill Clark was a guy who is, to my knowledge, I mean, his whole career has been in the state of Alabama. He's, you know, born and raised, went to Jacksonville State after Piedmont High School, and he's been a head coach for a long time before Joey Jones hired him to be his defensive coordinator when they started the South Alabama program. So, you know, he gets used to the college game, and he still hasn't forgotten how to be a head coach, and they hire him at Jacksonville State. The 1 year he's there, you know, they go from being, whatever, 5-7 or 6-6 or something like that to going to the third round of the FCS playoffs, the quarterfinals. So, and upsetting, you know, they weren't a national seed, I don't think. You know, they might have been they had to go on the road to win one of those games. So, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing, and he had incredible ties to the state of Alabama.
He's in a really unique spot as an FBS head coach this year because not only does he have a program that hasn't played for 2 years, but he has a couple of holdovers from that era, plus transfers that are coming into the program. Then you add in kids from the 2016 class that haven't played in live game action at the college level yet, plus the 2017 class coming in this year. Has he talked at all through spring ball and the beginning of fall ball at the process of trying to gel together that group that hasn't played a live game together yet?
A little bit. The good thing about fall practice is they didn't really welcome that many new guys in. You know, they only signed the 25 that they could sign this year. They were able to, or they signed most of those guys, or at least half of those guys, over the December signing period. So, really not terribly many new faces, maybe 10 to 15. So, you know, they started spring practice in spring of 2016. They had, they might have had 50 or 60-something guys. Of course, a lot of those were walk-ons who aren't with the program anymore. But you add to that last fall, they were probably, at, you know, maybe up. I think they had a full or close to it 105 reporting. They had a full roster, but most of them weren't scholarship guys. And then you add more and more, and in the spring they started to look like a team, and now they look like a real team. They're not that far off from the 85-man scholarship that you're allowed to have. So, you know, they really don't look a whole lot different from many other teams. But yeah, that was a big deal, and a lot of the blending in, it started with guys like Shaq Jones and Tevin Cruz, who were with the program in 2014 when Coach Clark was there. And so they knew his standards and all that, and that passed that along to guys who come in, and the guys who were getting used to UAB for a semester, they pass that along to the new group and so on and so forth. And then you have a group that, you know, is probably going to know more of what Bill Clark expects than his 2014 team did when they took the field.
Getting into that on-field product, it's so hard to tell as of right now, but what would you say is going to be the strength of this team in the 2017 season?
That's a good question. You look at, cause you haven't really seen these guys play against each other. I really think they can be pretty good defensively. And, you know, there's other positions where they've added guys too that you kind of have to wait and see. I think they're starting, you know, six offensive line plus a couple more should be pretty good. But they've added some weapons offensively at the receiver that's really going to be a wait and see, but they feel good about that. The quarterback position, the running back position, probably just positions right now that aren't going to get you beat. Do you have an all-conference guy in those groups? I don't know, but I don't think it's a bad position at all. I think A.J. Early will do a pretty good job as a starter. But really, defensively, that's what Coach Clark's, you know, he's a defensive guy, and so he's got a guy, David Reeves, calling the defense. It's going to be his first go-around as defensive coordinator at this level. So, you know, they've just added pieces after piece. They've got a pretty strong linebacker group. I think they'll probably have eight or so defensive linemen who can play, and you know, in the secondary as well, I think they shouldn't be too solid. They shouldn't be too bad. So I think defensively they'll probably be a little bit better than people think they will.
At the start of each season, whether it's the NFL or college, we hear a lot as fans on these broadcasts that defenses are ahead of offenses. And it would seem like that would be doubly the case with UAB with all of these new players having to gel together. Do you think that the offense, you know, more is most likely going to struggle when the season begins, and as the season maybe goes on, that you'll start to see that offense kind of gain an identity and get used to that system?
That's hard to tell because, again, we really don't know what the number one group offense will look like against a defense. I kind of think when they play Alabama, A&M, and FCS school, they may well score 40 or 50 points, you know, like most FBS teams do against FCS teams. I think, you know, once you get into that second, third, and fourth game against other FBS teams, that's when it's going to be too early to tell, or that's when you're really going to kind of start to see, you know, the problem with UAB offensively so far is that they've lost two tight ends to season-ending knee injuries, and Tyre Blakes and Skylar Clinton. These were your guys who are probably going to be UAB's number two and number three tight ends. They do have, the guy who came out of spring as a starter is a guy named Logan Scott. He's still healthy, but that's a big part of UAB's offense because Clark uses the tight end a lot. They used three guys in 2014, and you know, two of them are in the NFL right now, and or one of them has been in the NFL 2 years, and one of them just got drafted this year. So they can't have more guys get hurt at that position. But there's positions like Colin Lisa is an inside slot receiver. Jonathan Hayden's another a smaller guy who's real powerful and fast. They feel great about that. So, you know, may not struggle too much early because they really don't start the season off with that challenging of a schedule. Ball State and Coastal Carolina were picked last in their divisions, and in the MAC, whatever division Ball State is in, and in the Sun Belt, that where Coastal Carolina is.
Two guys you mentioned earlier were Shaq Jones and Tevin Cruz. Not only great defensive players, but also two guys that will probably step up and be leaders of the team. Is it fair to say that not only defensively, but just team-wide, that kind of everything is going to flow through those two?
Defensively, yeah, those are two guys who people really will count on because they've been through the wars with UAB. They've been through the terrible times at UAB. And so, yeah, I mean, and those two guys are 24, 25 years old. So obviously those are two guys to look up to. And, you know, guys like the receiver, Colin Lisa, he was also part of the 2014 team. A few other guys that were around 2013, 2014, the receivers like Wally Adams, offensive lineman Zach Sims, and Brian Novick. And these guys may not, you know, the last three guys I mentioned may not play a whole lot, but they're guys who have been around. So they're going to provide some leadership. But I think Coach Clark feels really good as well about the quarterback, A.J. Erdely, when they signed him from Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. You know, he's shown a lot of leadership from the time he stepped foot on campus. So he's a guy that this is really coming up. He's been around for a spring, a fall, and another spring. So he's another guy that, you know, he's taken control right away took control right away, and a lot of people look up to.
What do you think a fair expectation for UAB is in 2017?
Well, they were picked last in pretty much everything you've seen. And that's a deal where, you know, it's not a bad pick because you don't know what UAB's – it's a safe pick, I guess you could say. You don't know what UAB has, or people outside the program don't. But I tell people, I think what happened is that UAB will challenge for bowl eligibility. And that's not saying they're going to win six games, but knowing what Bill Clark did with those guys in 2014, going from 2-10 to 6-6, playing half the season with rumors of the shutdown and still winning a couple games after that. Knowing that, also the fact that most of the team, the age is like 22 to 24. So they're not a bunch of freshmen. There's not 50 redshirt freshmen and freshmen on the roster. Those two aspects, and the fact when you look at UAB's schedule, it's really not that difficult. I've already mentioned, you know, how Ball State and Coastal Carolina were picked last in their divisions. Alabama A&M's an FCS school. Their cross-division team in Conference USA, one of those is Charlotte, who was picked last in the East. They avoid Western Kentucky and Old Dominion, maybe the two best teams in Conference USA, and they're in the East. Their two toughest conference games, in my opinion, are Middle Tennessee and Louisiana Tech. Both of those games are at home. So, you know, I'd really be shocked if this team goes 2-10 or 3-9. I think it's going to be closer to 5 or 6 wins. I think they will finish better than most people think they will, is what I think.
Last question for you, and I'll get you out of here. And this is a broad question and is more general, but what do you think a reasonable trajectory is for the UAB program over the next 2 or 3 years? And does it seem like it's in a much healthier spot, obviously, than it was in 2013 or 2014?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a team that you look at the teams like Western Kentucky Louisiana Tech, those teams are winning 8 to 10 games and competing for Conference USA championships now year in and year out, going to some of the better league bowl games. And, you know, UAB had a pretty good recruiting class that was supposed to come in for the 2015 season. No names, that's just what I hear. And they're going to be recruiting. They're going to be getting some guys, you know, some players, I think, that they've got a transfer from Tennessee, a defensive end sitting out this year, Michael McDaniel. And so they're going to get guys like that, you know, and I think some guys may be waiting to see how they do before they commit. I mean, there's some guys who are already sold on the vision that Clark has, but you look, you know, maybe here's a team this year that wins 4 or 5 games, and maybe next year when a lot of these guys are back, they win, they're challenging 7 or 8, and then maybe year 3, it's possibility of 9 or 10. Assuming Coach Clark hasn't been pulled away by a bigger job and they're able to still get the machine rolling. So, yeah, if there's some stability, that's going to be a key because, you know, if UAB exceeds expectations this year, Bill Clark's going to be a guy in high demand. So, yeah, they got to stay injury-free and just keep getting better, which I think they will. But, yeah, that trajectory that I just described, it's not unrealistic at all.
Well, win or lose, I know, like most in the college football universe, I am extremely excited and happy to see UA football back and running as a program. And if you want to follow any of the UAB Blazers and their resurgence and their return to the FBS college football ranks, you should do so by heading over to AL.com and following all of Drew's work, and also follow him on Twitter at Drew Champlin. Drew, thanks for joining the show and talking to UAB football. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Glad to appreciate you guys having me on.
Big thanks to Drew once again for joining the show. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Drew Champlin and follow all of his work at AL.com. That was a fun episode and one that I really wanted to record. And like I said, I wasn't blowing smoke when early in the podcast I said that I was pretty bummed when UAB went away. That was a fun season to watch in 2014 to see them finally get to a point where they were playing competitive football, and then for it to be taken away from those players and the fans and that university was a real downer. So it's great to see the program back, and I know that I'm rooting really hard for them this season to have a good year, and it'll be interesting to see how they gel with so many new pieces and different pieces and transfer players coming in. But I think Bill Clark is a very good head coach, and if they struggle this season, then 2018 and 19, I think that they'll be back on very stable footing. That's probably a good place to wrap up this edition of the Two Stripes podcast. Want to thank everybody once again for listening. If you're a first-time listener, I hope you enjoyed the podcast and you will listen to future episodes as I drop them over the next couple of weeks as we head into the 2017 season. And if you're already subscribed, keep your podcast feed open. But to find the show, make sure to go to soundcloud.com/twostripespod and then go to Apple Podcasts, search the Two Stripes Podcast, subscribe, leave a review, tell me what I need to do for these shows to make this the best college football podcast on these here internets. You can also send me a tweet too, at Dubsco, that's D-U-B-S-C-O. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Two Stripes Podcast, and we're going to head over to Arkansas and talk about Brett Bielema and the Arkansas Razorbacks with SB Nation's Arkansas blog, Arkansas Fight. That should be a lot of fun. I'm curious to get their perspective on where the Razorbacks are in the SEC West right now, how people feel about Brett Bielema, and everything going on with that program. So keep your podcast feed open and be on the lookout for that, dropping either Monday or Tuesday. Until then, I want to thank you all for listening to the show. Have a safe and fun weekend. My name is Colton Denning, and this is the Two Stripes Podcast.